thank you for joining us for another powerful message from the teaching ministry of Destiny Church. We hope that you'll be challenged and stretched to grow through today's message. But most of all, we hope that you'll encounter the Father's love. If you're in the greater Mobile Bay Area, please join us for our weekend worship celebration. Or if you're looking for a church family excited for a revival, please come join us in bringing heaven to earth.
We're in this series called Movers and Shakers. And we started here where Jesus was sending out, in Matthew chapter 10, he was sending out the original 12 disciples. And he's telling them, I don't want you to go to the Gentiles. You're on a mission for a targeted audience. It's Israel. I want you to go to them, because he wanted the gospel to go to the Israelites first. And he tells them, when you go, I want you to do certain things. And that's why, you know, many times we don't understand unless we know some of the customs. He's telling them, don't take anything, because it doesn't make sense for you to go on a trip and not take things. But he's like, hey, you go into your own people. And so hospitality was huge. So, you know, you got those people, it's like, man, next time you're in town, let us know. We got an extra room. You know, don't rent a hotel. You know people like that? I say that to people. You know, here's the deal. Like, Israel was like that. So he's like, don't worry about taking food money. Don't worry about where you're going to sleep, because your Israel's going to take care of you. And if you go into that place and it does not receive the message, I want you to back out, take the blessing that you have given that house, take it back. Last week, I showed you a real life example of that. And then shake the dust off of your feet, not like this, you know, I'm done with you. Not that. It's, hey, this didn't work out in your next season, your next venture. Don't take what happened here into that. And we do that all the time. We do that all the time in the church, in life, in general. And so that's where we get this series of movers and shakers. It's time to move on. It's time to shake some things off. And so I want you to turn in Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to get there in just a minute, but I just kind of want to build into it. So Matthew chapter 13 is where we'll go. And as you get there, as you turn there, I want to just mention to you, I started this last week, but I want to mention to you that we're talking right now today about offense. This whole message series is really about pain and wounds and moving from being wounded in your journey to being healed. And it's a journey, just like sometimes God will supernaturally heal people of things. Like God healed my dad supernaturally of cancer. Like literally he had cancer one day, the next day he did not have cancer, and he lived 22 years later. There's some people that their healing takes a process. Sometimes it's slow, sometimes it's quick. Spiritually, emotionally, mentally, it's like that. Some things we're just over. We just get over really quick. My wife, she's a fast emotional healer when it comes to stuff with me. Like, you know, we'll have stuff going on. She's over it. She's over it. And I'm like, nope, not so fast, Beatty McGee. It's going to take me 3 days to get my attitude and everything back. You know what I'm saying? She's ready to move on. She's over it. Come on, you want to go to the movie? You can go by yourself for all I care. Because I'm still steaming. I'm marinating. I'm sulking. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I don't like that about myself, but that is part of my weakness. And so offense is one of those things that I talked to you about. This is something that it plagues people in general. It plagues our society today. We are the most offended generation, I believe, that has ever lived. Matthew 24:10 says, and then many will be offended and will betray one another, and they will hate one another. And he's speaking about what the last days will look like. He's saying in the last days, there's just going to be a spirit of offense that is unleashed in the earth at guys, I'm telling you, I believe that is today. You offend people so easily. They're just super offended. And I talked about this. If you missed it last week, you can listen to that message. But I spoke about a spirit of Leviathan. I've taught on this before. If you want, I've got a great book that I can recommend for you. Spirit of Leviathan is that spirit that basically it's a lying spirit that twists the truth, especially the preaching, teaching, or prophesying of the Word of God to attempt to destroy God's work, and he does it through division, disunity, and discord. A spirit of Leviathan will basically take messages that I'm saying, and Lord, I'm just telling you, man, it'll twist what I'm saying, and from the time it leaves my mouth to it reaches your hearing, the enemy says what he really means is this. People will get offended. I've witnessed it firsthand with my own eyeballs, where it's like something that comes out of my mouth is twisted, and all of a sudden there's an eruption in the spirit realm because that spirit of Leviathan is at work. I said this to you last week, that for many years I have known that that spirit is real. I've known that that spirit is it's a territorial spirit. I believe it's a principality. I truly do. I believe it's a principality. It's not a low-level demon. I believe it works on a global and a national scale, because I believe that spirit is what controls much of our political system. So it's a big spirit. And so it seeks to destroy entities. It seeks to destroy, and this is the way you destroy things. You get up inside of something, and the enemy destroys it from within. That's the best way to destroy a nation. It's happening right now if we don't wake up. Listen, the United States, I don't want to get too far off on this, the United States is not going to be a nation that is destroyed through military might. It's just not. Our landmass is too big. It almost makes it impossible for another foreign entity to come dominate this country. We don't live back when the Europeans came and basically stole it from the Indians or the Native Americans. You know, we don't live in those days. We live in a modern day. And so what's happening is you see the enemy come in from the inside. So they're going to attack infrastructures. It's going to be cyber attacks. This spirit will play the long game. It will play the long game. That spirit will get inside of a church. It'll get inside of a relationship, and it will lie dormant for literally years, and it'll wait for the right moment. It'll manipulate a little here and there, but it'll create a scenario for the right moment. The enemy has been getting inside of our country for years through the educational system, all the way back to the 60s when they took prayer out of school. They, you know, started legalizing abortion, all these different things. Down the breakdown of the nuclear family. That's dad, mom, and kids. You see what I'm saying? And so this spirit is at work. And so what I was saying is it took me a while to realize that this spirit has not only been present in our church. This is what I need you to understand. This spirit is assigned to our church. I've truly come to that understanding. Does that mean something's wrong with our church? No, it doesn't mean that. It means that the enemy is many times smarter than the people within a body are, because he's seeing things. He understands prophetic movements. He's lived through every great awakening, every revival, every manifestation. The enemy has lived through that. He understands it. He sees, smells, understands the nuances. And so he can tell many times before we can tell. that there's something on the cusp of greatness that is about to happen. He can understand, he just looks back. He can't foretell the future, but he has an incredible library to look back on and go, look, it took 100 years for this to happen at Azusa Street. It took, 300 years. It took a millennia for this to happen. There was 400 years that the church went that they actually lost the word of God. Remember that? And it's like, he knows, he's seen these things happen. So as he's looking at it, he begins to see what's happening in the spirit realm. And he's like, I can see where this is going. I can see what's happening. And so he begins to set up a plan, a scheme to kill, steal, and destroy. This spirit will get inside of relationships. It'll get inside of, like I said, churches. And this is what I want you to understand. I truly, truly, truly believe this, that spirit has been assigned to our church so that now we understand not just who our enemy is, like in the big generic sense, it's the devil. No, this is the weapon that Satan has formed against this church. So what do I do? You've got to pay attention now to understand how this spirit works, that you don't allow that spirit to manipulate you, that you don't allow that spirit to drag you into offense, because this is what offense will do. Offense isolates you from your enemies, but it also isolates you from your encouragers. Many times offense, we're looking at offense and we're like, man, I'm going to steer clear of that. I'm going to back up. I'm going to step away from that. But many times while we're stepping away from our enemies, the enemy, we are also stepping away from our encouragers. And I'll get into it in just a minute. Turning your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Jesus, he's talking to his disciples. He's training them. He's, you know how he is. He just uses common everyday stories. And he's using an agricultural metaphor for the kingdom right here. All right, are you there? 24. Here's another story Jesus told. I'm reading in the New Living Translation. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But that night, as the workers slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat. Say, weeds among the wheat. Then he slipped away. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. The farmer's workers went to him and said, sir, the field where you planted that good seed is full of weeds. Where did they come from? Verse 28 says, an enemy has done this, the farmer exclaimed. Should we pull out the weeds, they asked. No, he replied. You'll uproot the wheat if you do. Let both grow together until the harvest. Then I'll tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them into bundles and burn them, and to put the wheat in the barn. All right, so that's the story that he's giving, and he's trying to illustrate in a parable, in a metaphor, what the kingdom of heaven is like. All right, so if you'll go later, we're not going to do it right now. If you'll go later, right over to verse 36, then leaving the crowd outside, Jesus went into the house, and his disciples said, can you please explain the story of the weeds in the field? This morning, I want to talk to you about the weeds in the field. All right? He goes on and he explains that. This is what I want you to understand so that you understand, for because a Leviathan spirit will twist what I'm about, what everything I'm about to say. I want you to understand Jesus is using a metaphor, a story, a parable to illustrate how the kingdom of God works. I want to take the same story, not twist scripture. I want to take the same story to to illustrate a point within the church. What he's doing here, he's saying, hey, the kingdom of God that we don't see is like this farmer who planted. In the middle of the night, the enemy comes, plants some weeds, and they all are growing up. And in the last days, when the harvest time comes, we're going to separate them then. That's some people are going to heaven, some people are going to hell. All right? Now, for me, if it was me, I'd just pull the weeds up at the, you know, and but here's the thing. It can be so messy pulling up weeds. You pull up the weeds and you pull up the weed at the same time. You're in your garden or whatever, you're trying to pull things up, you know, that shouldn't be there. And while you're trying to pull them up, you actually end up uprooting some of the stuff that you didn't want to uproot. Because here's how the root systems work. They all grow together. My friends, that is how when there are weeds in the church, when there are weeds in your life, that you begin to allow weeds to grow in your life in the form of ungodly soul ties, relationships that should not be there. What happens is you get all mingled up with the roots. And when it's time to separate, oh, you can't separate, you can't separate. That's why I'm telling you, if you're young people in here, you don't need to be having sex with somebody that's not your husband, that you're dating. Why? Because as you do that, the roots get intermingled and you begin to make soul ties with people you're not supposed to. And I'm telling you what, and you know I'm telling the truth. When you get ready to separate from that, you try to get separate from it, man, people will get like super stupid. Like, you know, I'll come to your work. I'll make a scene at your work. I'm going to threaten suicide to keep you. Like, you know, it'll go dramatic like super quick. And what's happening is because you're trying to tear away from that soul tie. You've gotten the weeds when you shouldn't have allowed the enemy to plant those weeds in the first place. You know, I'm a weed hater. I don't know about you guys, but I'm a weed hater. I hate weeds. Now, here's the thing about weeds. Weeds are really easy to spot when they're by themselves. I mean, I could just go to town pulling that stuff up, spraying some Roundup on it. But look at this. That's what you want it to look like. That's what you want it to look like. Pull those weeds out. But if you'll look closely, I'm telling you, I spent so much time. I was out there, man. I was pulling weeds, and I was like going to town. I got them, and I'm just standing back going, oh, thank goodness. All of a sudden, are you kidding me? Hiding right there. See, what happens is the weeds get in, and it's hard for you to see the weeds because they begin to take on some characteristics. I just want you to look at this real quick, all right? Like, it's hard to see right there, but you can see them now that I pointed them out, right? Yeah, you can see them. There's one right there. There's a piece here. There's a piece there. There's that piece. Oh, this one over here is super sneaky. Hate you. Oh, look at this little guy. He's just over here just like, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I come against you. But look, you see how thin their blades are? Yeah. When I finally find them, it's so therapeutic getting them. I'm like, you thought you were hiding. I got you. Not only do I get them out, I get them out. I put them on the ground. And I spray Roundup on it. You know, I want you to understand, man, We will allow weeds in our world. Friendships that you're making that you know go against your moral values, your culture of integrity. We'll allow relationships to build. They could be romantic relationships, friendship relationships. They can be work relationships. And you know this is not, like, this is a person that is like, this is not who I am. But we will allow a relationship to form. And instead of us, because see, we don't want to offend them. We don't want to hurt their feelings. And so we won't speak and speak like truthfully the truth in love. And so what happens, we begin to allow them, y'all know I'm telling the truth. We'll begin to allow them to determine the culture. We'll begin to allow them to determine how the conversations go. Instead of, hey man, it seems like every time we get together that's where you are and I'm not there. Like, how can I help bring you out of that? Like, that's just speaking the truth in love. Because I don't want every time, I just want us to enjoy. Like, you know, listen, I'm telling you, I've been around those people, and here's the transparent side. I've been those people that every time I get around somebody, I start oozing my pain. Are you following me? Because when you're wounded, you bleed. When you're wounded, you ooze. There's this supernatural pus that oozes out of us, and that all of a sudden we begin to make the environment sick. I don't want to be that person. I've been that person. I repent of being that person, and I am moving forward because I want to be healed from that. What happens is when we allow this pain. Everybody in this room has experienced some kind of pain in your life before. And I don't know what your pain is, but here are the causes of offense. The first one is pain. And so pain that hasn't healed. All right. So I don't know what your pain is. Your pain could be something super traumatic that happened to you, like as a child. For me, I was sexually abused as a child. It was very painful. I didn't feel loved. I didn't feel protected. And so what happens is I walk around with that pain all of the time. And what happens is that pain actually becomes part of who I am. So it becomes part of my testimony. Every time I talk to somebody, I got to tell them about my pain. As a matter of fact, they're trying to tell me about their pain, but I'm like, hey, my scar is bigger than your scar. Hey, have you seen this one? You know, oh, look at this one. Man, I went through this, went through that. And so what happens, we'll let pain that we've been through that we haven't healed. I'm telling you, it's a beautiful thing to heal. But what happens is when we do not heal, we're a weed. We're not the wheat. We're not the healthy. We're not the church. We're a weed. We become a weed. The second thing is this. We'll allow betrayal. I'm telling you what, I should go back to Lee University and ask for some of my money back because, you know, come on, preach. I should go back to Lee University, ask for some of my money back because they never told me at Lee University how much betrayal I was going to go through in ministry. I'm telling you what, I think they don't tell you that because they know that you would abandon your calling. I'm telling you, people betray pastors all the time.
Well, I've had a pastor betray me.
Have you had 12? Have you had 50 pastors betray you? See, I've got one chance for every one of you, but there's lots of you for me. Same way in your world, the more people you connect with, the more people you have relations with, the more opportunities you have to be hurt. I believe in the mighty, one of our quotes that Alan said is, when you love people, love God, love people, right? When you love people, it is a license to be offended. Like, when you put yourself out there, you make yourself vulnerable, you begin to love people. Listen, everybody ain't going to love you back the way you love them. And so it opens the door for betrayal. Betrayal is going to happen. Jesus himself was betrayed. He said, if it happened to me, it's going to happen to you. What do you do when betrayal happens? Dude, it is painful. Listen, somebody that I know just for a few months, 6 months, a year, that's not, you know, that's hardly any skin off my back. But people that I've known for 20 years, people that I've known for 30 years, dude, that is like a mortal wound. If you're not careful, you have too many of those. It'll take you out. And so you've got betrayal. And then look at this, disrespected. A lot of times if you feel disrespected, that you feel like somebody just does not honor you well. You feel like they don't take me seriously or they talk down to me. This is a level of offense. Like, you know, this person, they think they know everything. You've known those people. And it's like, hey, they're constantly promoting their ideas, but I just try to slip one in here every now and then and they just shoot it down. Being disrespected is a high level of offense. I've been disrespected and I've disrespected other people. Don't do it intentionally, but sometimes we just do that. Because why? We are human. Here's another one, shame. Every person in this room at one point has felt shame at one point in their life. Many times the enemy will beat us up over the things that we've done in our past. Man, I'm just telling you, I've done things. I've been guilty of sin that I don't, like, I will be transparent with you, but there's a certain point. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, there's stuff, man, I'm embarrassed of, and I just want to tell you the generic idea, but I don't want to get into the weeds. I don't want to get into the details of it because it just honestly sickens me. It's embarrassing. It is shameful. And the enemy, he'll use that shame to come against us. And what happens is if you've ever felt shame, like you're offended at yourself. You ever offended yourself? Like you are sick of you. Not too many of y'all. I'm the only one. Like, I've been sick of myself at times in my life. I'm embarrassed that even came out of my mouth. I'm embarrassed that I've done that. I'm embarrassed that I've treated people that way. And so what happens is I become offended with myself. Listen, when you offend yourself, what happens is all kinds of things. You begin to feel shame. You begin to feel insecure. Your identity. You feel like you don't have anything worth sharing with anybody. And so these things, they will come against you. These are the causes. All right, let's look at some of the effects. So those are things that cause offense. Let's look at what those things cause. They're causing a victim mindset. Like, I'm just telling you, you've run into them, I've run into them, you've been a victim, I've been a victim. I'm telling you, if you are a sexual survivor of any kind of trauma, you were literally a victim. You were a victim, but you can't stay a victim. If you were battered, I can't remember who said it, I wish I could remember it off the top of my head, but this was a counselor, and he said, every woman has exactly the marriage that they want. Like right now, you have exactly the marriage you want. No, I don't. I wish my husband was this, 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 and this. And so he wasn't talking about men. He's just talking about women. And he said, you have exactly the marriage you want. Because if you didn't want it, you would do something different. You have bought into a victim mentality that I'm a victim. It doesn't get any better than this. I can't do anything about it. I'm stuck in this situation. Let me tell you, friend, no, you're not. You're not stuck in that, well, I don't know how I'd get out of it. Well, if you don't try, you never will. And what happens is you'll begin to create a victim mentality over offense. You get passed over for something at work. Well, I'm just, you know, I always get passed over. And my dad's not alive. All right, listen to me. My dad's not alive. But if my dad were here, you know, this is maybe a conversation we could have. My dad got passed over on the fire department for many, many years. And my dad, man, he is faithful. But he's like, man, I never get it. I put my name in and I never get it. And you know what? I felt sorry for my dad. I truly did. I felt sorry for my daddy. Because I'm like, Daddy, man, you're so faithful. You're there. All right? Daddy dies. Rife grows up. Rife becomes a leader of leaders. Rife becomes the head of church and, you know, different businesses. And this is what I now understand. Listen, my daddy, he ended up being I'm not even sure if this is what you are now, Brian, or not, but they called it a shift commander. So basically, he's like an assistant chief. He ended up becoming assistant chief, but he always wanted to aspire to be the chief. This is what I, as my daddy's own son, my daddy had a victim mindset over that. But as a leader, I now understand my daddy didn't get passed over because somebody didn't like him or whatever. My daddy got passed over. Watch it. My daddy got passed over because he wasn't capable of being the fire chief. He didn't have the education to be the fire chief. He didn't have what it took to hold that office. Now, I'm talking about my own daddy that I love. He didn't get passed over. He got passed over because, George, you have a 10th grade education. George, you got a GED. George, you've got years of experience, but you've got these other guys. They've got a chemical degree from a university. You got passed over because somebody else was more qualified. That's somebody that I love, and I'm telling you, his victim mindset, and he got offended over that, and he was just unhappy in his job, really, for probably the last 10 years of his life. Don't let a victim mindset because you've been offended set in. The second thing is this: paranoia, insecurity. I'm telling you what, when you are allowing a spirit of offense to operate in your life, you'll see people across the room and they'll be having a personal, private conversation, and old Leviathan will speak in your ear and say, you know they're talking about you, don't you? You're so vain. You probably think this song is about you. You're so vain, you're so vain. They ain't talking about you, man. They're talking about where they're going to lunch after church. But because you operate in a spirit of offense, because you operate and that you've given a foothold for the Leviathan spirit to speak to you things, you'll become paranoid. You'll become insecure. When you get ready to walk into a room, you're like, do I look all right? Is my zipper up? You know, do I look too fat? Does this make my butt look big? You know, you'll be thinking, you know, got anything in my teeth? You know, and you'll hear that voice speak to you and say, you're really not good enough to be in a room with these people. You don't deserve to be in this crowd. You know, these people run at a different level. I'm telling you what, I've heard that voice myself. Distrust in people and distrust in God. And what happens is, like, you see what's happening here. Like, he's beginning to wall himself off. So there's some folks that I asked to help me out with this. I want y'all to come to the stage. And these are the people that have hurt Pastor Wesley. It's your fault, Paul. It's your fault, Susie. It's your fault, Shay. It's your fault, Glenna. It's your fault, Jackie. I'm keeping my eye on you. So when you're offended, you begin to distrust people. You heard Jackie say something, and all of a sudden, like, you wonder, what'd she mean by that? Well, where are you from, Jackie?
Maine.
That says it all. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that says it all. She's, you know, like, man, I'm telling you, folks from the north, they just talk different than we do. They'll say something on their mind, and they don't mean a thing by it. But because we're Southerners, and we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, and we'll, you know, lie to them, go around the world to try to soften it, they just blunt. They'll just say it. And so, what did you mean by that? She didn't mean a thing. She was just... And so all of a sudden, you just begin to hear stuff that wasn't there. You begin to distrust because of offense. And then you will even begin to distrust God. Has anybody in here ever been offended by God? I have. I've been mad at him. I've been upset with God. Like, you do this for everybody else. Where are you for me? Like, when is it going to happen? Because I'm just telling you, I'm tired of waiting. I don't really believe that it's going to happen. You know, so you see what I'm saying? You get into this place, and the next thing is you open doors to the enemy. You open doors to the enemy. Offense will start opening doors to the enemy. You'll start, listen, the enemy can place people in your life that are not, that they're not supposed to be there. And all of a sudden, you got this person and they're telling you the things that you want to hear. So you start building trust in the wrong people because you are distrusting God. You're mad at God. And this person is there just to help steer you further and further away. You'll open the door. You'll open the door. You'll open the door to the enemy. You'll begin to hear the enemy say things to you, and you'll begin to partner with it, and you'll begin to believe it. Yeah. Well, you've never been good enough. And you should have known God, he's not going to do that for you. Like, isn't it funny that everybody, people that came after you, God's done it for. So what's your problem? What's wrong with you? Why is he doing this to you? Are you following me? It's like, so what do you, you must not be doing something right. Like, you probably need to pray different. You probably need to do this differently. And all of the sudden, we now have abandoned an audience with God and we're entertaining an audience with the enemy. One of the things is control. Whenever we begin to feel like we're losing control, hey, I'll tell you what, they won't do this to me again. This will not happen again. I'll never be passed over again. I'll never be fill in the blank again. And so what you begin to do, you begin to control everything. And I'm just telling you, if you try to control everything, you are going to weed God out. You're going to pluck up the wrong thing out of your life, and you're going to isolate yourself from God. Remember, offense, it's going to isolate you cut you off from your enemies. Well, I'm not going to have anything to do with this anymore. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be involved in that. They're never going to do this to me. And you begin to use all of these things, and they are basically a fence, literally building a fence to cut you off. All right, look at this. Discord and division. When you operate in offense, the thing that the enemy is going to do, listen to me to this, listen to me. The enemy operates by biblical principles. Did you know that, right? The enemy operates by biblical principles. So the enemy can use the principles. Listen to me. It rains on the just and the unjust. That's what the word of the Lord says. Biblical principles work for everybody. If unsaved people use biblical principles, they work. No, they don't, preacher. They don't. Just stop. Because you don't know enough of the word of God yet. And you need to go read through the Bible. When evil people prospered, when Obed-Edom he wasn't evil, but he didn't even want the ark. David shoved it over there in his yard like a, 1954 Chrysler up on blocks with no wheels on it. Just shoved it over there in his yard. And Obed-Edom, everything that he had started blossoming. And he's like, man, y'all can leave that here as long as you want. The enemy, he uses biblical principles. And what he does is he seeks to enlarge his support system. What does the scripture say? Where two or three are gathered in my name, they will ask whatever they will, and it shall be done. I only do that, by the way, for my family, the ones that I love. No, that is a biblical principle. Where two or three people who are just old rank sinners, they don't know anything about God, they pool their resources, they get things accomplished. Because two is better than one, is what the scriptures say. Three is better than two. Four is better than one. You get the idea. The enemy, all of a sudden, what he begins to do, he begins to build where misery loves company. So somebody who's offended, all of a sudden, they're like, hey, I'm offended. Will you be offended with me? Will you be offended with me? I don't know. What you offended about? Well, so-and-so, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. And it's like, what? You got to be kidding. This is what hurts me. People will believe stuff about me, and they've never even come and asked me about it. But you just took whatever somebody else, hook, line, and sinker. My God, let's go and string them up right now. And you've never even talked to me about it. People will do that about you. They will do that about you. All of a sudden, now there's two of them. Let's go get us another one. Let's put it out on Facebook and see, can we just do a trot line? Any fishermen in here? Let's just do a trot line. We just throw in stuff out and see if we can catch anything. You'll catch, because there's some people who have been offended and they're being manipulated. And before you know it, you got you a crowd. So the effects of offense is discord, division. Look at this, broken relationships. That's a consequence, an effect of offense. The enemy will break relationships. Relationships that were once strong have now given place. Why? Because it's spiritual. Do you understand? It's not natural, it's spiritual. It just manifests itself in the natural. The church is so busy looking at the natural that they really miss the big picture. You understand, the enemy, his goal is just to get you to focus on the stuff that you shouldn't even have to focus on, so that the big picture is happening over here. The big thing is happening in the spirit realm, and we can't even see that because we're just looking in the natural. Don't fall for it. At least don't fall for it anymore. Look at this. Stolen opportunities. When we are offended, what happens, I'm fixing to separate myself from this. I got offended. I'm separating myself from this. And so what happens, we begin to build this fence. And on the other side of that is our opportunity. We've cut ourselves off. Look at this. Bitterness. When you become bitter, bitterness is one of those things that I've experienced this in my heart. And bitterness, you can't worship if you're bitter. You can't have true reconciliation if you're bitter. You can't have so many things if you're bitter. And when you operate in offense, what happens is you allow bitterness to take control. And listen, this is what bitterness does. Bitterness plays over and over and over and over like a playlist that is on repeat. You go to bed thinking about it. You wake up thinking about it. In the middle of the night, you got to get up and go to pee, and you're thinking about it while you're taking a potty break during the middle of the night. You are driving to work, you're thinking about it. Why? Because it's bitterness. The root of bitterness has gotten there. So this is what I want you to understand, all right? So look, we've got this wall here, and the people that are behind here, this is what I want you to do, all right? So we're fixing to take this thing down. I know you worked really hard building it. All right, let's see if you can take it down really quick because time is of the essence, all right? So, look, it took so much time to build this. I mean, it was stewing and brewing and happening over a course of days, months, years, literally decades. Man, just throw it over there. Who cares? He spent his whole life allowing some bitterness to build. And look, when you make your mind up that I'm going to allow God to move in my life and I'm fixing to start dealing with some stuff by the power of the Holy Spirit, look at how fast it comes down. It goes up slowly, methodically, but it comes down because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Where God, you invite him into all of these. God, come into my victim mentality. Come into my paranoia, my insecurity. God, come into my ability to distrust. Come into all of my need to control the situations, my discord that I've sown. Come, Father, into the broken relationships. When you begin to invite him into these things, I'm telling you, it begins to come down. And this is what I want you to understand. All of a sudden, the people that have been standing back here that you haven't been able to see, Susie, what have you got? What? So do this. I want to go, put the main point up again. What are you carrying? So this is somebody, this is a mentor who cares about him. Like, he needs her because she possesses something, leadership, wisdom, different qualities. She possesses that, but because Susie said something and spoke to him the truth in love. Listen to me. This is what I've said to somebody. I was this guy, and I said to somebody, listen, if you're going to be a leader at Destiny, and you definitely have leadership qualities, there are some things that you're not doing, and I really, to be in this position, you're going to have to, you can't lead if you don't do that. Meaning, like, you can, but you won't be a person of integrity. So you have to grow in this area. Guess what? They became offended and built that wall up. And so I can't be the mentor to that person because they built a fence. A fence of offense. All right, I'm going to let you go. What have you got, Paul? Mm-hmm. So Paul has answered prayer. All right, man, I'm telling you what, this is a great one right here. Because you are offended, and it doesn't even have to be about the prayer that you need. because you're offended, because of whatever, Paul has the answer to your prayer. But Paul offended me, so I cut Paul off and I built this wall. So you're behind the wall. So my answer to prayer is in Paul. And I'll give you a real life example. Somebody, they were saying, man, I need a job. I need a job. I need a job. I need a job. But they're offended. And I'm telling you, there's multiple job opportunities behind the wall by the people you're offended with. Are you following me? And I'm just using that as an example. It could be any number of things. It could be something, man, I need a place to live. I need a place to live. Well, guess what? There's people back there that have rental property that's vacant, that they, out of the goodness of their heart, but they offended you and you built the wall, and the answer to your prayer is behind that wall. Are you following me? All right, you can go. What you got, Glenna? Opportunities to grow, lead, and minister. I'm telling you, I have had people become offended at me. Now, in your world, it might be different. Mine's ministry, yours might be business related or something like that. So I've had people that would get offended at me, and the very thing that they want, I could provide. Hey man, I can give you opportunities. We have groups that you could lead. We have like position that you could, you know, use your gift musically. Hey, we have areas for children's ministry that you could go and you use all of these gifts, but because you got offended, you don't have any place to let those outlets. So you see what I'm saying? All right, you can go. Shay, what have you got? Encourager. Like, when you become so offended, you've built that offense, there are people that you cut yourself off from. You've isolated. I'm done with people. Listen, you aren't, like, she didn't even offend you. But because you've been hurt, because you distrust, you've cut everybody off. Now you're in isolation mode, and there's somebody that's trying to reach out to you the whole time, but you had a wall built. And this is the person that God is sending you to encourage you, to lift you up, to build you up. And so you can go. Let's see what the lady from Maine's got us. Connection with the Holy Spirit. When you become offended, you build a wall of offense, you are going to have a very difficult time connecting with Holy Spirit. That's why people who get into a spirit of offense, I'm talking to you. You understand? We can be passive and go, oh, yeah, those people. Oh, yeah. No. Listen, we can't do anything about those people. They're not even here to listen to it. What we can do is us, you, me, learn these things. I'm not saying this stuff to you even as y'all got it. I hope y'all get this. You understand? Every Sunday I'm preaching to Rife Stewart. Yeah. I'm preaching this message to myself. Because I'd be lying to you if I said I was all the way whole and healed. I'm on my journey. But I'm telling you what, I do know this. You let bitterness in your heart, guess what? You go to pray. You go to pray. This is why praying in the Holy Ghost is so important. Praying in the Spirit. Because you want to pray, and here's old bitterness. Yeah, let's pray. Let's pray. And you start praying and trying to connect with the Holy Spirit. And it's like, you ain't even thinking about it. Hey, did you remember that time that they did this? And all of a sudden, your mind, bitterness. Hey, how long you been praying for this? Like, forever. Where is God? Why, you're just basically wasting your time. You know, that's what bitterness does. It interrupts our connection with Holy Spirit. So, I love you. Look at this. Hebrews says, work at living in peace with everyone. And work, so when it says work at living in peace with everyone. Work. It's work. It's effort. It doesn't just happen. It's work. You have to work for it. And then it says, and work at living a holy life. We know that's work. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Look after each other so that none of you falls or fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. I want you to look at that. This is what bitterness does, guys. Bitterness, which is caused by offense. He says, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness, it's like a cancer, it's like poison, that it doesn't grow up to trouble you and corrupt many. Don't be a weed. Don't allow bitterness, don't allow offense to corrupt you. And then your corruption, you begin to infect, not affect, infect other people in the body of Christ. You begin to infect people at your business. You begin to infect people in your circle of friends or influences. You begin to infect people wherever your circle of influence is. You know I'm telling you the truth. You've seen this play out in the business world where somebody is offended and all of a sudden, you know, they're spewing this everywhere. Listen, I'm telling you, we've got to be careful. So what am I going to do with this? What are you going to do with today's word? Number one, search your heart for offense. This is what I call Psalm 139-ing yourself. Always searching my heart, always searching my heart. Daily, God, is there anything that I'm missing? Is there any offense in my heart? Is there any bitterness in my heart? God, am I even still mad at you for some things? Because I'm telling you, bear with me. Of the person that I'm most upset with most of the time, this is going to shock you. You have an idea of who it is? Nope. God. Pastor, are you serious? Our pastor, I don't know if I want to sit under a pastor. Listen, I'm telling you, that's what they feel too. Yeah. They're my posse. They're my brood. That's who I run with. And I can tell you, if the enemy can get us upset with God, we've lost everything, because without him, we can do nothing. So that's why the enemy constantly is warring us against our Creator. You do understand that was Jesus' first act of rebellion, was to seek if he could get support, and he did, a third. Did I say Jesus? Sorry. Lucifer. Thank you for catching that, because I didn't catch it. That's what Lucifer did. He led away a third of the angelic hosts. Search your heart. Do I have any offense in me? Is there anything that offends me, God, or offends you? Is there anything that offends me and other people? Am I walking in offense? Listen, repent. Stop walking in offense. You can't help it if you're offended. Like literally, that'll happen just like that. But you can help walking in offense. Don't do that. When you're offended, deal with it quickly. That's why the Word of God says, hey, don't let the sun go down on your anger, your offense. Just deal with it quickly. Don't let that brood. Don't let that. Just deal with it quickly. Look at this. Seek forgiveness and then forgive others. Just, if you've offended somebody or if you've been walking in offense, just go and say, man, I want you to forgive me because I've had an attitude towards you. I want you to forgive me. And if you need to forgive somebody else, forgive them. And I do believe there are times you need to contact them and you need to say, I forgive you. And there are times where that may not be possible. They may even be dead and gone, but forgive them. And then this is the last one. One of the best books on offense that I know is this book called The Bait of Satan. Yeah. This is from John Bevere, super highly respected John Bevere. We're out of them out here. Next week we'll have some chaise ordered and we'll have these available. It is a great, great book. As a matter of fact, I'm considering doing a book study on it. So these are some things. And I want you during this series, now listen, you can receive, many of you received it last week, you can receive it today, and throughout this series, because this is a series, it's like 8 weeks, we're in what, week three, I think, maybe two, three, and it's going to build precept upon precept upon precept. And if you'll lean into the word, you can walk out of this and you can become so mature in the area of offense. I'm telling you what, it takes a lot to offend me, but it used to take nothing to offend me. I'd get offended at you in a heartbeat. I'd write you off and I'm done with you. But now I'm telling you, it takes a lot to offend me. But I went through a lot of battles of betrayal, being done wrong, being all of these different things. And what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. It's not just a song. It truly does. Like, if you survive it, you're going to be stronger the next time. And that's a spiritual principle. I want you to stand to your feet, and we're fixing to go. If people at Destiny Church will ever understand that what we do in this room is not church, huh? See, some of you haven't figured that out. You think we still have church here. This is a training center. What we do when we come in here is I've just given you so much information that if you'll turn around and now what are you going to do with it? I'm telling you, you will grow by leaps and bounds. We don't just get here and have church. What happens is we come into the room with the creator of the universe, the most holy God, and what happens is transformation will take place in your life if you will allow it. If you don't, like, you're going to stay just where you are. And I want you to understand that there are some of you that you are walking around with offense. I know offense can smell offense. I can see it on people's face. I can tell in conversations. Wow, they're hurt. They're burdened down. They're carrying so much offense. Well, the preacher at the other church hurt me. How did you come here? Did y'all fix that before you left there? Because I'm going to be the next one that hurts you. I'm not going to try, but see, you've already, you brought that here. Shela makaya bokosonde. You didn't shake it off. Like, And shaking it off, listen to me, shaking it off is not leaving and not having a conversation with him or her or whoever that person is. I just disappeared. They ain't going to miss me anyway. It doesn't matter if they don't miss you. It's a mega church. They didn't even know I was there. I hadn't ever even spoken to the pastor. Doesn't matter. You are walking out of there with offense and you are walking in here with offense and I'm going to be the next victim. But you're going to call yourself the victim. You got to shake that off. If you don't shake that off, it is going to affect you for the rest of your life until you receive freedom over that. There's a heaviness that some of you walk around. Remember in the very first message here, there's a heaviness that you carry around like the little Pigpen Snoopy character. You've got to liberate yourself from that because you carry your offense with you. And listen, your offense is going to repel people because it takes a strong believer to be around somebody that is constantly offended. The average person, a really mature believer will put up with that. The average, you know, churchgoer that it's like, man, I just ain't into all of that. That, like, I get that whole love God, love people, but these people are too hard to love. I'm not doing that. not doing it. I just come to church and I just want to be blessed. Listen, when we come in this room, we are dealing with a whole nother realm. I just wish the Holy Spirit could just rip it off and we would see it. It's time for you to walk out of that. It's time for you to leave that. You're missing opportunities. I'm speaking prophetically to people. I could call you out right now. Today's not the day for that. But I believe it's coming. In this series, that God's going to have some prophetic words from people. So start getting your mind ready to receive prophetic words that God's going to give to people. But there's some of you that you're walking around and you're missing all of those opportunities are on the other side because you've got a fence and you didn't even know that you built it. The devil built it. No, you built it. The devil was manipulating you the whole time saying, hey, put this board right there. Screw it in right here. This is when I want you. You know, the enemy is the puppet master. So I want you to just pray with me. And right now, here's the prayer that I want you to pray. I want you to pray that Holy Spirit, you will allow Holy Spirit to tear some layers off that you didn't know were there. Some that you do know are there, but you wear them like a weighted blanket. It makes you feel good, but it's weighing you down and you're not able to soar. Holy Spirit is calling you to soar. There are opportunities. See, the enemy is stealing stuff from the kingdom through you. He's stealing opportunities from the kingdom, and you're the duffel bag he's carrying it around in. He puts the offense in you. He puts all of this in you, and he's stealing your purpose. He's stealing what you carry. He's stealing it from the kingdom of God. He's stealing it from, you understand, the kingdom of God is not just church on Sunday morning. Your mission out there. So I want you to open yourself up to the Holy Spirit. And I want you to pray this prayer with me. And this is I say it and you echo it. It's coming out of my mouth. And as it comes out of my mouth, that gives you time to think about what you're fixing to come into agreement with. First of all, we're going to address Holy Spirit because he's the one who guides us into truth. Okay? So Holy Spirit. You are the one that guides into all truth because you are the truth. And I want to know the truth. So right now, I submit myself to you. I may not even fully understand what that means. But with all of my capacity, right now, in this moment, I submit myself to you. As much as I can, I submit my emotions, I submit my past, all my hurts, my intellect, I'm going to say it again, my intellect, my analytical ability, my ability to think I know bigger than God. I surrender it all. God, I give you permission. I want you to think about what you just said. God, I give you permission. Say it like you mean it. God, I give you permission to show me things. Pull the veil back. Let me see things that I've covered up, that I've allowed the enemy to cover up. I give you permission to speak to my spirit, to show me with my spiritual eyes. I want to know the truth. I want to be set free. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And where there's truth, there's freedom. I've been in that place too long, and it is now time for me to walk out. And I intend to do that as I hold your holy hand and allow you to lead me. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so do you understand what you just prayed? That's just a prayer. You just prayed and said, God, I want you to do this, and I'm giving you permission. So I want you to understand what is about to happen. God is going to start showing you stuff. Look for it in songs on the radio. Because some of y'all are thinking, well, I got to go read the Bible. And you need to. He will show you stuff in scripture that you just skimmed over. He'll show you in devotions. He'll show you in a country song. He'll show you in a commercial on TV. He'll show you at some cashier at Walmart. He'll come to you in the most odd places, and he'll show you stuff about you that you've allowed the spirit of Leviathan, the spirit of offense, and the spirit of manipulation to take control. When he does, you rebuke it and renounce it. I want no part of that. That is not who I am. And then you call out the opposite. If he reveals something about insecurity or dishonesty or whatever, and that's not who you are, I rebuke that thought, and that is not who I am. I am an honest person. I am a godly person. I am a faithful person. So you say the opposite, all right? Now, I'm blessing you, and you're going to walk out of here, and you're going to walk out of here with an air of victory in your life. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I bless my church family. I bless these people that I call my spiritual friends, my spiritual family. And as they walk out, as I walk out, that we walk out as victors. We walk out walking taller, walking, our shoulders are broader in the spirit realm. And God, we walk out ready and hungry to receive the things that you're going to show. This is what I love. It's a prayer. Somebody else, I won't call his name. Andy Stanley, that's who it is. But he prays a great prayer that I love. God, give me the ability to see trouble far off. Give me the wisdom to know what to do when it comes near me. And give me the courage to do what your spirit tells me to do about it. Go do it. I love you. God bless you. Our prayer team's going to be down.